doing the whole 6010. Welcome to Fantasy Focus. Today's podcast is presented by Geico. You can watch us every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN's Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube feeds, as well as the ESPN app. And you can download Fantasy Focus wherever you get your podcast. A busy Wednesday is upon us. Field and Kyle here hanging out today. Good to see Kyle here on the couch. Jackson over here hanging out with us as well. Kyle, it's your first show sitting on this couch.
Yeah.
And you picked yourself a doozy to be involved with. As we had a meeting at 9 o'clock, as we do every day before every single show, we had a very straightforward outline. And then two major pieces of news came down, and all of a sudden the fantasy football world has been flipped upside down. Let's start with this. Breaking news just minutes ago, originally reported by the NFL Network and confirmed by Adam Schefter. Aaron Rodgers, the Green Bay Packers reigning MVP quarterback, has tested positive for COVID-19. He is now out against the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday. Again, he is out for this game on Sunday against the Kansas City Chiefs, a game that had all sorts of buildup surrounding it. Even if the Chiefs are 4-4, Kyle, we were talking about the reigning MVP. We were talking about a lineup lock every single week. We were talking about a 7-1 team that just got the best win of their season on a short week on the road against Arizona,
a
previously
player.
Undefeated team with no Devontae Adams. And all of a sudden, the Packers' COVID issues are right back where they were last week, as in, they are still significant. Let's get to all the fallout here, Kyle. And I want to start by talking about what this means for the Packers skill players. I'll let you chime in, and then I'll play a little game of ping pong here. If you have Devontae Adams on your roster this week, or if you have, well, really, it's just Devontae Adams amongst pass catchers.
Yeah.
Is this going to be enough to persuade you to not have Devontae Adams in your lineup on Sunday?
You can't bench him, right? I mean, it's not nice that it happened to the Packers, but it's a pretty straightforward offense, and I don't think you can really change much. Like, Adams, if you want to downgrade him from wide receiver 2 to 16, like, fine, but he's still in your lineup. Same with Aaron Jones. Like, it's a straightforward offense. Losing Rodgers is awful, and it hurts their value, but I don't think it puts him out of your lineup, does it?
It does not move Devontae Adams out of your lineup, but what I will say about this is that if you are somebody who maybe took a loss last week because of the fact they did not have Devontae Adams in their lineup, it does change your feeling going into this week. And here's the end of the day. Like, at the end of the day, like we always talk about in our world, we want to give our viewers or listeners actionable items. And to your point, Kyle, he is not being removed from your lineup.
No.
You do hope, and today is Wednesday, so I would think that Aaron Rodgers would be available in week 10, but we'll worry about week 10 once we get through week 9. But you have to hang tight with Devontae Adams.
Agreed.
If for some reason you'd been entertaining any other Packers wide receiver or even a tight end, at this point, you are out. I don't know that, and we'll talk about Jordan Love in just a second.
Okay.
And I think Aaron Jones, he showed last week, adverse circumstances or not, he's still going to be an amazing player. He had 7 targets last week. I think his pass game workload goes down this week because, of course, Devontae Adams expected back. And by the way, Adams expected to begin practicing or could be back in the facility as soon as tomorrow, Thursday. So I think things are actually, we're not glad for anybody to test positive, but things remain kind of status quo. Like, there are other receivers that might be fantasy starters only because of the quarterback that they play with. Devontae Adams is in a different category. He's in a different bucket of in and of himself.
Agreed there. Does A.J. Dillon make a flex role for you? You got to think they're more run heavy. He's had at least 11 touches in 3 of his last 4. They seem to be working him in as more of, like you said, with the 7 targets for Jones, he's been kind of flexed out, used as a receiver. Maybe with Tonyan out, Jones can be used more that way. Do you think Dillon gets 15 touches? And
maybe.
Is that enough?
Yeah, I think it's possible. Chiefs? Yeah, I think he could be a deeper league flex consideration. We play in the 16-team war room league, and Mike Camberry Camby has him, and he has been used in his lineup on a reasonable number of occasions. And this could be one, depending on who he has on buys this week or other injuries, that this would be a week in which you could consider A.J. Dillon. I think he's usable in a deep league. I'm not a must-start of A.J. Dillon.
Right.
Limited passing game work from him, as we have seen in the past couple of games. But I think the most interesting part of all this is that we are going to get a glimpse into the Packers' future this weekend.
Yeah.
At some point, Aaron Rodgers is not going to be a Green Bay Packer. Now, many people believe that's going to be next year.
Yeah.
So as we talk about the ways to fill in for Aaron Rodgers, this is where, so there are going to be a number of names we'll discuss in a second here, Kyle. I think there's a chance that Jordan Love could be fantasy relevant enough this week that you're not going to get a perfect replica of Aaron Rodgers, of course, right? But it's not like anybody is readily available that I would have the same expectations for as I did Aaron Rodgers in a matchup against the Chiefs, in which I think I had Rodgers like quarterback 4 for this week. The available options are outside my top 10 or like right on the periphery of top 10. I think Jordan Love could be kind of interesting this week. Pedigree. Let's talk about pedigree for a second.
I was going to say, is this a game flow, game script thing, or is this a Jordan Love thing, or a combination
Everything.
Of the two? Everything. Okay. I like this. As a Packer fan, I am on board with this take. I'm not sure I agree with it.
Sure.
But I'm on board with it.
Okay. So Jordan Love, even to the chagrin of Packers fans and perhaps Aaron Rodgers, well, to Aaron Rodgers himself, was a first-round pick last year. And it wasn't like anybody said, this was not, you know, Brandon Whedon going in the first round where it was like, that was a doomed experiment from the start, right? Agreed. He deserved to go in the first round. He was an amazing athlete. Really, really good athlete. I mean, we're not talking about Lamar Jackson, but like we're talking about functionally athletic enough to make enough plays with his arms and his legs that he could pick up 25, 30 rushing yards on Sunday. Would be enough. Second of all, like the dude could spin it back in college. He played at Utah State, so it's not like anybody, not like most people are super aware of what Jordan Love looked like as a player during his college days. But you saw enough during the pre-draft process to realize pretty talented guy. Third of all, great offensive line. Good enough pieces around. I mean, Devontae Adams is a great player. Aaron Jones is a great player. And how about this defense on Sunday? They're playing the Chiefs on Sunday.
Yeah.
The Giants could not do enough to finish drives this past Monday night.
But they got there.
They got there on enough occasions, right? Like, I didn't sense that the Chiefs' defense sort of overwhelmed Daniel Jones, did they?
No. And no. Daniel Jones is an easy guy to overwhelm, all things considered. So it's not like we're comparing him to Russell Wilson or something like that. Like, if Daniel Jones could be that comfortable in that kind of spot, I understand what you're saying. I don't know.
All right, so let's do this then.
Okay.
Because I think you and I, so as we look at potential other options, I want to introduce Jordan Love right away because sometimes we forget to just look right in the mirror at whoever the team is. You're going to have to replace Aaron Rodgers this weekend. And I'm sorry that I'm looking at my phone. I'm just pulling up the Week 9 quarterback rankings to look at names that are probably available in 40% or 50% or even more of leagues. Here are some names here.
Okay.
Tua Tagovailoa.
Yes.
Okay.
Over Love.
So let's. I agree, and we'll earmark this though. Carson Wentz against the Jets.
Okay.
Daniel Jones or Teddy Bridgewater. Jones against the Raiders with a limited group of pass catchers, and Teddy Bridgewater against the Cowboys with a very good group of pass catchers.
Yeah.
Okay. All those are over Jordan Love right now.
Carson Wentz. Watching some of his throws last week, it is terrifying. But he gets there for fantasy. Is he the passing version of Jalen Hurts?
You don't have to watch.
Like, he'll get
there. You don't have
there.
To watch. Hey, yeah, if he gets you 20 fantasy points, it's all that matters.
I like Tua. I like Teddy. I think I would take both of them, no questions asked, over Love. And that's kind of what we're doing here. Those are guys you can pick up now and play over him.
Yeah. Okay. So I think here's what it comes down to. We probably have like 5 or 6 names right now that if you do have Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback, it's not that you're going to get Aaron Rodgers production.
No.
But there are enough options there I don't think Jordan Love should be overlooked.
Okay.
Tua, I like. Here's how I would stack him like this. And I know we're doing this on the fly, but this is what happens when you get news minutes before the show starts. Tua 1, my number one option amongst these quarterbacks that are readily available.
Okay,
number 1 is Tua. Number 2 for me, Carson Wentz. And I think he's at like 50% roster ship. So, number 3 for me would be Daniel Jones, but I'm going to reserve the right to change that because the Giants, by the way, announced this morning, they've got 13 positive tests in their building, and that could include some players as well. So we'll keep an eye on what that means and who that involves. Teddy Bridgewater would be the next one for
another COVID situation with Fant.
Yeah, no, and I'm not – he's a good player. We'll talk about that in a second, but I'm not concerned enough that dissuades me. And then number 5 for me, and we got to see if he plays. He has been on IR for a while now.
Okay.
Would be Tyrod Taylor.
Okay.
The questions I have – for him are that, or I think the concerns I have is that if you're looking for somebody who has a chance at like 25 points, I don't think Tyrod Taylor has that, right? Agreed. Like, I think he's got the best floor or a better floor than some of those guys, but I think the ceiling is lower. I think I might take Jordan Love, and I know this is going out there. 2-1, Carson Wentz 2, Jordan Love 3.
Wow, okay.
Tied with Daniel Jones. That's where I would be. Tied with Daniel Jones. I'm ready to roll the dice on this kid.
Are we allowed to board bet? Like, is that a thing? I will take Teddy Bridgewater second on that list behind only Tua and ahead of Love.
Okay, so we got to workshop this then. So you think that...
I'd just go Teddy over Love.
Teddy over Love?
Yeah.
Yeah, with that. You got to make sure you get a board bet in before you leave.
I got to get my name on that page, right?
Let's do it. All right, so you go first.
I think Teddy Bridgewater in week 9 will outscore Jordan Love.
I think Jordan Love will outscore Teddy Bridgewater in week 9.
Put it on the board.
All right, put it on the board. There it is. It's been done. So a lot of news to unpack there with Aaron Rodgers. We will keep our eyes on anything else that could pertain to Green Bay with COVID-19 situations. We hope that no other players are on the COVID-19 list after today. Worth noting that Kurt Benkert, their practice squad quarterback, was placed on the list yesterday.
Okay.
I'm assuming 11-11 right now, make a wish, but also... I think Blake Bortles will be back by this week. Expect Blake Bortles to be signed or somebody like that to be signed at some point this week, because right now they only have one quarterback on the roster, Jordan Love. That's it.
Yeah, one guy that has hardly any NFL experience. Yep. So we'll see.
All right, so let's move forward from that to more news. And I think this one might be a little bit less. I mean, I'll just tell you this. Michael Thomas for the New Orleans Saints announced this morning on Twitter that he's out for the rest of the year. He had an ankle injury. He had a setback. As we all know, this initial injury took place all the way back in week 1, Kyle, of 2020. Yeah. Not 2021, of 2020. Michael Thomas goes down for the New Orleans Saints. He did return, but eventually got hurt again. It has been this weird, bizarre, just tough road back for Michael Thomas. We can save the what he should have done and the disagreements he and the Saints had for a different platform. Does this matter in redraft leagues?
It stinks. I mean, he was a ninth round pick, and you're going to get exactly nothing from him, which is a shame. I guess the question here is, what do you do with the quarterback position or for this offense as a whole? Like, you've got Kamara, and much like the Aaron Jones, Devontae Adams, like, I think he's quarterback proof. Is Taysom Hill going to matter? Is there a single pass catcher? I don't think so. That's really going to matter on any kind of consistent basis here.
So here's what I would say.
Okay.
Is that it matters and it doesn't. It matters in the sense that, like, if you held Michael Thomas for the first 8.5 weeks of the season in your IR spot, and you could have potentially had been using that spot differently, then, of course, it's an opportunity cost that you missed out on this opportunity.
Yep.
But I do think you were sort of just hopeful for Michael Thomas of what he could have been. As far as the Saints go, Taysom Hill's value... certainly is, I mean, it helps when you have Michael Thomas. He's a really good player, right? I mean, he's a terrific player. He helps your passing game output if you have him on the field with you. Mm-hmm. But we believe the value in Taysom Hill this week. And by the way, I would have Taysom Hill ahead of
agreed, of the Jordan entire
Love.
Group.
Yeah, that whole group.
Yeah.
The value, maybe besides Tua, but the value in Taysom Hill is mostly due to the fact that he's an outstanding runner. He's a punisher at the goal line, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
They love using him at the goal line, even when he's playing the wild card role with Jameis Winston under center. So it doesn't help. I do wonder, though, so redraft-wise, like, it stinks, but I will say this. You at least have clarity now?
Yes.
I know that you wish the clarity were that he was back and
sure.
He was going to play for the rest of the season, but if you have an IR spot that you've been using on Michael Thomas, or if you play in a league with no IR spot because you have deep benches, you can now make use of that spot and no longer hang on to a player that's going to give you a zero. Be curious, for dynasty purposes, Kyle. 2 years ago, after that incredible season in 2019, he might not have been just the number one wide receiver in dynasty.
He might have been the number one player in dynasty.
Just off the cuff right now, how many wide receivers are certainly ahead of Michael Thomas for dynasty? Right off top of your head.
Yeah, I mean, you've got Adams. I think you have to go...
let's see, Adams.
You have to go talent,
DK
and
Metcalf.
You have to go
have
where
to
the
go
quarterback is.
Chase,
certainty.
CeeDee
right.
Lamb,
like, exactly.
Like
those guys, where you know who the quarterback's going to be for the extended future,
right?
Like
Tyreek Hill.
Exactly.
I mean, the list goes on and on, right? Well, like, where is he started?
I'm not sure he's the top 10 guy.
Justin Jefferson? No, he's not. He's not.
Yeah,
which is crazy. It's crazy how much these things change, and I do think that maybe it pays some credence to the idea. Like, I was going to say it pays credence to the idea that like if you're playing in Dynasty, you always are working so hard for the long range view. Then again, like,
yeah,
if you had taken the short term view and said like, hey, I'm making a trade for Michael Thomas because I'm getting a top wide receiver in Dynasty, like, hey, it may not have worked out for you. So it's amazing how much things can change both in redraft and in Dynasty. And Michael Thomas news ties into the Taysom Hill news, which we mentioned how we would like Taysom Hill the most amongst fill-in replacements, besides Tua, in my opinion, for week 9. And part of the reason why is he is, quote, progressing. So right now, if he were to, well, I guess we kind of made this point already, like how high would he climb in your ranks? But I would think playing against Atlanta on Sunday, top 10 to 12 option. I have Tua right at 10. So I would think he'd be somewhere like right behind him, like 11 or 12 for quarterbacks this week.
Yeah, no, I think that's about right. I mean, he plays the Falcons, like you said, a great spot. We already saw Hurts and Tua both offer top 5 performances against the Falcons. And you think about those two, they get it done with their legs.
Yeah.
Like Tua, not as much so, but he does. And they completed almost 80% of their passes. So the rushing opened up the passing. If Taysom Hill's going to complete even 70% of his passes on top of what he does with his legs, I think you're in the right ballpark. I'm not looking to start him, but if you've got Brady on bye, or you just lost Rodgers, or you're banking, you're right in that like Kirk Cousins Tua zone.
Sure.
I think he's reasonable.
So last thing I'll say, by the way, about the Saints and the wide receivers, not to go back on it, but just like, if you're wondering what this means for the wide receivers that have been there.
Who are you playing?
I mean, Michael Thomas hasn't been there for the first 8 weeks of the season.
Yeah.
And what have you gotten out of Marquez Callaway or Tre'Quan Smith or anybody on that roster, right? You got nothing. Like, the Saints don't have a pass catcher right now that you are bothering playing in your fantasy lineup. And I'm not sure any of them need to be rostered right now. I mean, there's not one that I'm saying to myself, like, if I have Marquez Callaway and there's an opportunity for me to replace Aaron Rodgers with a quarterback that I like this week, Marquez Callaway would be droppable under those circumstances.
It's just like the Packers wide receiver too. Like, after Adams, there's nothing you need. I think that's how you view the Saints from top down.
Totally. It is a, they're a great team. They're so tough. They're so gritty. I don't make any mistakes about it. Sean Payton's one of my favorite people in the NFL. I love Sean Payton. What they're doing is ridiculous. They're just doing it in a way that's been very unlike the way they've won for a lot of years. They play incredible defense. They're tough. They're physical. They run the football. They don't throw that much. So no Saints pass catcher is a must roster with Michael Thomas now out for the year. All right, let's get to the other pieces of news that we had scripted. Like, we had a cool script ready for you.
Yeah,
we did.
It
was all good.
Yeah.
Mikhail always does. Something or nothing. Deshaun Jackson has been waived. Deshaun Waxon, that would have been weird. Deshaun Jackson has been waived by the Rams. You know, he was seeking a trade. It didn't get done.
No. It's nothing. What are you doing?
It's nothing unless, like, he could land somewhere that would be slightly intriguing.
Like Buffalo or something. But if he lands there, are you ever going to be confident in playing him? Like,
No. Buffalo maybe, only because like Josh Allen's got the strongest arm in the league, right?
Sure, he's going to land with Buffalo,
yeah,
hypothetically, and then you need him to produce for a week before you play him.
Yeah, totally.
Maybe two before you feel good about playing him, and then you're kind of iffy about playing him, and then it's like Gabe Davis a week.
Totally. Yeah, I'm agreeing with you. We'll keep an eye on this, just for those that are interested in such things. Because the NFL's trade deadline is now passed, every player that gets waived goes to waivers. Previously, if you had less than 4 years of service, so if you were a player on a rookie contract and you got waived, you'd see guys hit waivers. If you were a veteran, you would just get cut and you'd have the opportunity to sign right away somewhere else. See Jalen Smith, right?
Sure.
Now that the trade deadline has passed, every player that's that's cut goes to waivers. So there's a chance a team could claim Deshaun Jackson. That'll actually be Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern time. And if that happens, they inherit the rest of his contract that was signed by the Rams this offseason. I think more likely he goes unclaimed, takes his time, finds a spot. Next thing you know, we're talking about him. And we're also telling you at that time, he's hit or miss. Like, you'll be lucky when you guess right on Deshaun Jackson, but more frequently you will guess wrong. Noah Fant, as you did allude to earlier, Kyle, the Broncos tight end, has also tested positive for COVID-19. Noah Fant needs 2 tests 24 hours apart to return before Sunday's game. And a point of clarity, for those of you that are saying, well, he could return before Sunday. Why couldn't Aaron Rodgers? I'm going to trust the reporting here.
Gotcha.
And in this case, the way that it was phrased, both by Adam Schefter and NFL Network, who broke the news first, was that he's out for Sunday. If you want to read between the lines, you can infer that Aaron Rodgers is unvaccinated, which is the only circumstance in which we have immediately ruled players out upon testing positive. Remember, Davante Adams, yep. We were holding out. Remember, he held out hope until the very last kickoff. Moment.
Yeah.
So that would seem to be the inference there. Noah Fant, I don't know his vaccination status, and I don't know whether he'll be able to play on Sunday. But let's presume that he doesn't. Albert O, their backup tight end, fourth round pick out of Missouri last year, great athlete, sort of like Noah Fant. Is he sort of like an interesting, like, grab him and use him? Or is this, if Noah Fant can't get the job done, why should we expect Albert O to get the job done?
I don't think there's a thing as a bad play at tight end. Like, if you see five targets, you have a chance, yeah. Right? I mean, at five, you could catch three for 40 and a touchdown. And I like Bridgewater more than you. We made the board bet and everything. So I think he's on that fringe. I think you could consider him. What makes him that much different than a Hunter Henry or somebody that you're just relying on a touchdown from? Like, is he that different?
He is not. Again, we basically have two categories of tight ends. Travis Kelce, Darren Waller, Mark Andrews, TJ Hockenson, a couple others, and that's about it.
Yeah.
And then everybody else, right? So, yeah. Alberto, I do think he's an interesting daily play, though.
Yes.
DFS podcast, of course, comes out on Thursday. I have not yet seen the pricing for Alberto.
$2,600. He's that's priced it. Outside the top 25 at the that's position. Crazy. You can't tell me he doesn't
it
pay
is,
that off.
Oh, my. Yeah. Oh, you got to figure, again, for those that follow the algorithm that you take the price tag, multiply it by three. Yep. That's what you're looking for to return value. So 2.6 times 3 would be 7.8 points is all you need from Alberto. Literally one catch for 8 yards and a touchdown would do it.
Yeah, I think he gets there without a touchdown. And if you get the touchdown, like you're printing. So I'll take it.
All right, so Alberto potentially stepping up. More on that DFS CSS podcast on Thursday as always. Logan Thomas, speaking of tight ends, expected to return to practice following the Washington football team's bye week, which is this week. So some good news there for those that have been stringing it together until Logan Thomas returns. I suspect, and I could be wrong here, even though Ricky Seals-Jones has been a 100% of the snaps player since Logan Thomas was out, I suspect he'll just go right back to what he was before, like on the field only when they go on two tight end sets.
I agree. Are you cutting RSJ then this week if you need your Aaron Rodgers replacement or you need to free up a spot? Like, you can feel free to cut him, right?
I think so, yeah. I mean, I can't imagine Logan Thomas. Well, I suppose he could not play in week 10, but based off of the way, like what Ricky Seals-Jones has provided in the absence of Logan Thomas is like a decent floor.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't had a boom play so far, right? So my guess is that if you drop him this week, you can go back and grab him again next week. I can't imagine someone's altering their roster that dramatically to pick up Ricky Seals-Jones, who might not even be fantasy relevant for the rest of the season. So safe to drop him if you need spot for Aaron Rodgers. We are going to talk about quarterback ranks in just a second, and man, what a morning it has been. But first, Kyle, tell me about Geico.
Yeah, I want to know if you rent or own your home.
I do.
Okay, sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. Mm-hmm. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around the home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save today. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
All done by you. Hey, football fans. We have an incredible app everyone who buys gas needs to know about. Get Upside. Our listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download the free Get Upside app in the App Store or Google Play right now. Use promo code FFF and get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. That's up to 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using Get Upside. Just download the app for free and use promo code FFF to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 to $300 a month in cash back, and there's no catch. The cash back gets added right to your account. You can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free GetUpside app and use promo code FFF to get 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. That's code FFF. All right. So we talked about replacing Tom Brady.
Yep.
I mean, replacing Aaron Rodgers, which is basically the same conversation as replacing Tom Brady, because now Aaron Rodgers and Brady are both out this week. I mentioned I like Tua. It's the matchup, right? I mean, it's a Houston team that is just, they won in week one. It was an impressive effort, but they're sort of now playing to their talent. This is an undermanned team. If Tyrod Taylor's back, it might make them a little more competent. It does make them more competent offensively and puts the defense in less bad spots, fewer bad spots. But still, this is an overmatched defense. So I still like Tua a lot. But we mentioned Teddy Bridgewater. Do we like the fact that Teddy Bridgewater plays the Cowboys on Sunday? Do we dislike the fact that Teddy Bridgewater plays the Cowboys on Sunday? Or do we think it's sort of a average matchup?
I think meh is about right. I mean, he's a high floor guy, and I think he comes with a little bit of a ceiling here in a game spot where, I mean, they're underdogs by more than a touchdown.
Yep.
He's going to throw. I think he's going to be throwing. I don't think Denver can run the ball on Dallas too effectively. Dallas has been better against the run over the last month than they were during the first month. And like you said earlier, he's got viable pass catchers with Judy back. This is a good crew. Why can't he throw for over 250 in multiple scores? I think we were talking DFS earlier. I think he makes sense there. I think he's a viable streamer. I think we're looking at like quarterback 12 this week.
Interesting. Yeah, I think the best way for Teddy Bridgewater to get to what you're talking about is if the Broncos defense just has no answers for that Cowboys offense, which
very possible.
If Dak Prescott's back, could certainly be the answer. But he has yet to have a top 10 week, as we mentioned already. This season, you know, Teddy Bridgewater is one of those that, like, on paper, the weapons are good. He's like a professional quarterback, right? To borrow a term that Matthew often uses, but it never seems like the major payout is there for Teddy Bridgewater. That being said, if somebody has already replaced Tom Brady off the waiver wire and you now have to replace Aaron Rodgers, like, options are going to be limited at quarterback. Let's talk about running backs. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire is eligible to return to practice and play this week, Kyle. A little bit of like inside baseball stuff here.
Yeah.
At ESPN, we had this conversation on Sunday because of the Dak Prescott hanging in the balance situation. That, like, our approach is going to be at the beginning of the week, we're going to use the information we have available, and then we're going to have sort of a refresh of our ranks once we have more information. Practice reports specifically. So for right now, our ranks reflect the idea that Clyde Edwards-Helaire will play on Sunday against the Green Bay Packers. I have him ranked at 23rd in the running back board, but I wonder if that's too high, Kyle. Would you have been more optimistic, less optimistic, or is that about right?
I would have been less optimistic.
He's okay.
Got just one game this season with 15 carries. He's not breaking the big plays. In Kansas City, even with the Mahomes struggles, the pass heaviest red zone offense in the league.
Yeah.
So if he can't score and he can't break off a big play, exactly what are we banking on here? I guess the one concern over the last hour or so is a game script of that game might be more in his favor than it was, you know, when we thought Rodgers was playing. So if they run away with this and hide, maybe a healthy version of CHC's 15 to 17 touch. I'd have him outside my top 25.
Personally. Yeah, I've got him at 23, and I do feel like it is too, maybe even too rich, because all the factors you just mentioned, plus the fact that he may not be 100% when he comes back this week. Darrell Williams has been good in the passing game, and he's been fine overall. And then Derek Gore looked good on Monday night. So I wonder if CEH may be one of those players that, like, if you have the ability to not utilize him, which you probably do because you have replaced him for the past 3 weeks, like, maybe he's got to prove his way back into your lineup this upcoming Sunday. Let's talk Titans here for a second. Jeremy McNichols, 25 on my board right now, Kyle. And I've thought about this more and more and more. I've started to wonder more and more and more whether Jeremy McNichols deserves more credit than we gave him on yesterday's podcast after discussing Adrian Peterson. And I know that we did not entirely dismiss him, and Matthew did make the great note about how he had, what, nearly 3,000 rushing yards during his final 2 years of college. But I think Jeremy McNichols might have a chance on Sunday night to impress for a couple of reasons. One, if Adrian Peterson plays, and I know he's a freak of nature, three practices, barely been there for a full week, like, still have to get some football conditioning in, like, may not be a huge set of snaps. Second of all, they're playing the Rams. the Rams, who are the best right now team, I would say top to bottom in the NFL, are right better. There in the mix, right? Especially offensively, the way that they're playing. Like, game script could be that Tennessee needs to move the ball at a fast pace and may even be down in this game.
Yeah.
Could Jeremy McNichols exceed expectations, in your opinion, this weekend?
I think so. Just to cycle back, I think I'd play him over CEH.
Okay.
In a PPR league, I mean, if he's going to get five, tell me he gets five catches. That sound about right? I don't think that's
seems
crazy.
Reasonable. Yeah.
And if it's 5 for 50, like that right there is 10 points. Does CEH lock in 10 points?
I don't know that.
Yeah.
I can't guarantee it. Yeah.
And maybe he gets 5 to 7 carries and maybe he scores. And like you're saying, the pace gets going and they're running a bunch of plays. I think McNichols is in that flex conversation in the A.J. Dillon mold ahead of CEH for me.
Yeah, I'm starting to become more optimistic about Jeremy McNichols, not just for this weekend, but potentially for the rest of the season as well, that maybe the reason why Tennessee had not, quote-unquote, paid as much attention to the backup running back spot as we would have with before Derrick Henry's injury was because they actually like this player. Now, McNichols has bounced around the league. He was a fifth-round pick of the Bucs a few years ago, and he's had a bunch of different spots that he has stopped at since. So this is not, you know, Alexander Mattison behind Dalvin Cook, but I'm wondering if there might be enough value to make it worthwhile on Sunday to pay off. A couple more running back ranks. Boston Scott, who last we saw had 2 rushing touchdowns against Detroit. Last week, though, was the perfect game script for Philadelphia to just pound Detroit, right? I mean, he and Jordan Howard both had 2 rushing touchdowns. That being said, Kyle, he looked the best to me. And the matchup this weekend's a good one against the Chargers, who have been the worst run defense in the NFL this season, are right near the bottom in a couple of key categories, rush yards per game allowed and yards per attempt allowed. Could this be another good spot here for our friend Boston Scott?
Good, yes. Like last week, probably not. Like what you said, I mean, I don't think they're blowing them out. I don't even think they're winning this game, so that's a problem. I think Boston Scott, though, with this role is kind of what we wanted Miles Sanders to be, like coming into the season, a feature guy in this offense. I think that sounds about right. I don't think he's threatened. Yeah, I know Gainwell got 13 carries or whatever it was last week.
All in the fourth quarter.
None of them mattered.
Yeah.
Like they were pretty clearly Gainwell's Gainwell, and we're going to try Scott out as Sanders, and I like that look on him. He's a low-end RB2 for me. He's not scoring twice again, probably, and they're not rushing for 4 scores again. But I like what I saw, and I like the feature role.
Yeah, he had all the first quarter carries last week for running backs. Jalen Hurts got a few as well. You know, Philly's still a hard offense to figure out, in part because sometimes their own inefficiencies during a game alters their plan for the rest of the game.
Yeah.
But I think Boston Scott useful enough that I wish last week I'd been preaching, hey, this is the guy that you want off of that Philly bench now that Miles Sanders is on IR. Last time we saw Kenyon Drake play, Kyle, he was good.
Mm-hmm.
Filled in for Josh Jacobs, who had a chest injury last time we saw him. I'm assuming, and actually I know that if Josh Jacobs is back, it's hard to put too much trust into Kenyon Drake, even if his role has been a little bit bigger since the firing of, or the resignation of John Gruden. That being said, Drake also was like super efficient in that last game. Like he didn't get a ton of touches. He just made the most of those touches. I've got him outside my top 40, but I do think he's worth keeping an eye on if Josh Jacobs' chest injury either limits him or prevents him from practicing today. Because I think if that's the case, I believe it wouldn't be that they go back to Peyton Barber.
No.
That instead Kenyon Drake becomes a lead guy in that backfield.
I agree with you there. Let's say Jacobs doesn't practice, and if he were to sit, well, let's call him doubtful. I mean, we have no idea what he's going to be.
We have no idea, yeah.
But let's say right now we know he's out.
Yep.
Would you play Drake or Scott?
I'll play Boston Scott.
That was convincing.
Yeah, I know. Giants defense.
Giants on a short week. Drake off the bye.
Yeah.
If he's the only guy in that backfield, I think he probably slides ahead
of
Scott.
I think I would play Kenyon Drake.
Yeah, I think I would
too.
Pass
catching is enough there. I'd probably lean that way myself. It's a good call. It's an interesting conversation. Drake would catapult. He'd certainly, his specific rank, I don't know, but it would start with a 2. Somewhere in the 20s would be where Kenyon Drake would land for me. Let's talk about a couple of pass catchers here. Start with Amari Cooper, Kyle, and we're going to talk about some confusing players in a little bit here on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I think Amari Cooper is one of those players.
Yeah.
But you know what? I think he's not anymore.
No, okay.
And I said this last week and reiterated it yesterday. And let's just, final word.
Mm-hmm.
Amari Cooper is way too talented to be as up and down as he is. He's an amazing player. The Cowboys gave him a five-year, $110 million contract. They know how good he is. Some weeks, he's going to mind-numbingly be outside the top 30. Other weeks, he's going to be a top five wide receiver. Yep. He's been wide receiver one and wide receiver five week one and week eight, respectively. If you have Amari Cooper, we might have a conversation about his rank. Just play him. Like, there's no rhyme or reason. In week one, they played the Bucs, who we thought coming into the season were a very, very good defense. And they are. Their defensive injuries have caught up to them a lot. And in the secondary, especially, that's been the case. But he was wide receiver one against the Bucs. We would have thought maybe it was a fade week for Amari. If anything, like, if you had to choose what's more likely, wide receiver one or wide receiver 30, all of us would have said wide receiver 30. This past week against Minnesota, not a great secondary, right? But he had Cooper Rush as his quarterback. Cooper Rush, who was cut by the Cowboys last year. Like, they literally cut this player that they're now starting as their quarterback. Like, I would have thought, again, if you said, what's more likely, wide receiver 5 or wide receiver 40? I would have said wide receiver 40, right? If you have Amari Cooper, just play him, man. Way too talented to miss out on the upside every single week.
But it's the same as Mike Williams, right?
Yeah,
like we've seen Mike Williams bust the past few weeks. I think it's a similar flip.
Yep. Tyler Boyd, though, is more interesting because last week he was started in just 13% of leagues on ESPN. And I kind of get it, right?
I definitely do.
He had been truly relegated to a third wide receiver role in his own offense, and then he busts out last week. Do you think there's any rhyme or reason behind why he had a great game last week? Or do you think it was just that he's a talented guy and balls just bounced his way?
I think that's more the case. Like, matchup, and Mike Clay will get more into this tomorrow, and I think the slot role is a good spot to be this weekend. But, I mean, you're looking at a game where Burrow threw more passes than Ja'Marr Chase had receiving yards. And even with that, wow, Boyd ended up with under 70 receiving yards.
Yeah.
Like, okay, he scored and had a handful of catches. Like, that's great. But what makes him any different than a Jacoby Myers or a Jameson Crowder? Like, is he not just one of those guys where you're hoping for 6 to 8 catches for 65 yards and maybe he scores once this month? Like, it's not my thing. Yeah. The ceiling's not high enough to chase for how low the floor is for me.
You very kindly included Jacoby Myers.
Yeah, you know. I mean,
he's never scored a touchdown. That needs to change. Because
technically got into the end zone with the 2-point conversion, so yeah. You feel good for him.
I know, you do. But, like, you have to get one.
Oh, my God.
He's like a very good player. That just blows my mind. It's a
statistical anomaly. If we could have Mike Clay break down the odds of that happening, yeah, I would be floored to know what those are.
What is the highest career OTD without ever scoring a touchdown? It's clearly Jacoby Myers. Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy for the Cowboys, Kyle. I think Sutton is same category as Amari Cooper, even if the peaks aren't as high and the lows might be even lower, if that makes sense, right?
That's interesting. I think I agree. He's Amari Cooper with a lesser quarterback. How's that?
That's fair.
They can create those things.
But also Cooper Rush gave Amari Cooper wide receiver 5 upside this past week. Like, and the other thing is that right now, it feels like Tim Patrick is like he's going to play on every snap for the Broncos, it seems like. Which is crazy to me. But he's a really good player. It's Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy. I guess Jeudy makes sense coming off of the injury. But I think Cortland Sutton's the same way, right? Just like, leave him be. As we all know, at least going into week 8, he led the NFL in air yards.
Yep.
Might be close. You're going to have to live with a few, maybe even like half of the games where it's like, eh. But the good games are going to be, 6 for 112 and a touchdown. It's the kind of player he is.
Yeah, I agree that the ceiling's there. Does it concern you at all that he has fewer targets than Jeudy does catches in the two games they've played together?
Not really. I think it's a sample size thing.
Okay.
By the way, Jeudy, rocket ship.
Agreed there.
27 this week on my wide receiver board. I wouldn't be surprised if by the end of the season, if you have him, you're playing him every single week. He caught all 4 of his targets this past week. Yeah. Did not, again, we mentioned this is important. No setback. He had no setback with the ankle. That's great news for a guy that we know is already one of the best route runners in football. Seeing that ankle hold up was good news to me. We're going to discuss more confusing players in just a few minutes here. But before we do that, A word from our friends at Dr. Pepper. College football fans, after an offseason that felt a little more off than usual, Fansville and Dr. Pepper invite you to celebrate because college football, as you know, is back and so are the fans. It's the most wonderful time of the year again, the season of Saturdays when rivalries run deep and nacho cheese dip runs even deeper. So crack open an ice-cold Dr. Pepper, warm up your cornhole-tossing arm, and return to glory with an all-new season of Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. Alrighty, let's move to some players that we think are sort of confusing for the rest of the season. And I'm going to move past Courtland Sutton only because we just talked about him, but he was on our list, Kyle. His teammate is also on our list, which is Melvin Gordon. Remember, I mean, coming into the year, Melvin Gordon was an easy player for people to be like, done, toast. It's going to be the Javonte Williams show soon.
That was one of them.
Well, a lot of people were, right? Yeah. He's been pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty darn good this year. Four top 25 finishes. He's been a top 25 running back each of the past 2 weeks. He's been RB22 on the season. Nearly 13 fantasy points per game here. I think that absent the Broncos and like sliding to 4-9, which would be five straight losses, absent that, I think there's a chance Melvin Gordon's role persists for the rest of the season.
Yeah, it's a pain. I mean, they didn't make any moves at the deadline that told you they were motivated to win this year, so it was 4-9 out of the question. Like, I think I'm not betting on it, but I think they very well could be 4-9, and if they are, why would you not go to Williams here? Like, he's looked good, and the two of them have split 26 touches a game. So if that shifts even a little bit, if you're talking 15 to 17 touches per game for realistically either one of them,
yeah,
I think you're talking like a top 15-ish running back.
I think so, too, and here are the counterpoints. One is that, hey, Broncos fans are probably like, we're not going to fall to 4-9, right? Like, we're going to be good. That's part of it.
Sure.
Two is that it seemed clear from yesterday that this team has no interest in waving the white flag, as you mentioned. The Von Miller trade was like a pretty unique circumstance. Like, that's a lot of draft capital to get back for a player that was in the final year of his contract. Three is that even if we, as fantasy managers, would love the idea that Javonte Williams takes over the starting job and gets 25, 30 carries per game, the team may be saying, like, what is our motivation to force feed him an egregious workload in his rookie year when we're just playing for pride in the last 5 weeks of our season, right? They may be like, exactly what we want is to get valuable reps, which he is getting, let him contribute, but not wear him down, right? He's 21 years old. He's a huge part of their future. So I think Melvin Gordon sticks. Beyond that, like, Melvin Gordon's good.
Yeah.
He's a good teammate. He's the kind of guy that veterans in that locker room, I think, respect. He helps them win. Like, I don't think you can just bench him. If that was the case, then you might as well just cut him and hope somebody claims him off waivers later, which I don't think that's we're getting too far ahead of ourselves. I think Melvin Gordon has like legit staying power. And as we look at the upcoming year, which I know people are like, dude, it's week 9. But when we get to free agency, if you look at some of the veteran running backs that are available, Melvin Gordon's kind of interesting.
Okay.
Kind of interesting. Like, we got others like Raheem Mostert that'll be available. You got guys like Leonard Fournette will be available. There are going to be a bunch of running backs to be available. Cordarrelle Patterson has been awesome. Melvin Gordon's kind of interesting. I wonder if he'll have one more chance to be sort of a featured back somewhere because he has been good this season. I think if you have him, I'm holding, and I think he's still usable until further notice.
Okay. If you had to pick one Denver back the rest of the way, who scores more points?
I think I would lean towards Javonte Williams because if either of them's going to take like a two-thirds, one-third role, it's him. But I don't think either of them takes a 100% of the workload role unless the other one gets hurt.
Yep.
Ryan Tannehill, it's a good conversation. His past 4 weeks, he's been trending in the right direction, Kyle. Quarterback 21 to 19 to 12 to 8. Do you think the fact that Derrick Henry is out helps or hurts Ryan Tannehill the rest of the season?
I think it helps because I trust his efficiency that much that if he gets a spike in volume a little bit, that he can kind of pay us off here, and I don't mind the schedule moving forward. Julio's not going to be any more hurt than he has been, so I would think that only gets better, and McNichols, like, maybe the offense, it's going to look a little bit different, even if I know the coaching staff and everything says we want to keep everything this way. We've built our team a certain way. We're going to continue with that. I don't really believe him. I think you have to change it. You're not replacing Derrick Henry with Derrick Henry. So I think he was drafted as quarterback 12. I think that's about what he is moving forward.
It's going up. I think it's going up. His value is going up.
Give me a number. Rest of the way.
You're right. Around quarterback 12.
Okay.
One of the killers for Ryan Tannehill this year has just been that from the 10-yard line and in, the Titans' mindset is going to be the same.
Sure. And why wouldn't it
be? Hand the ball off to Derrick Henry. Yeah. And by the way, any other running back in the NFL, like goal line carries start at like the 3-yard line.
Oh my God.
For Derrick Henry, they start like the 12-yard line, right? Like the opportunities are going to be there for Ryan Tannehill to throw. Like I don't know the numbers on this, and maybe I am completely off. If I had to guess, the number of 5, let's call it 8-yard and in touchdowns for Derrick Henry is notable enough that if half of those turn into touchdown passes,
sure,
Ryan Tannehill's numbers already look a lot different and will look a lot different going forward.
Yeah, I'll look it up for you post-show, but I would say you're probably right, and I think that's a smart play. And A.J. Brown looks like a freaking beast right now.
He does.
They can't tackle him. Forget the 8-yard. They can't tackle him from 80 yards away.
Sure.
So I'm with you there. I don't know if he's a weekly starter per se, but I think he's in the conversation.
Size. Yeah, league size for sure. I agree on that. So Saquon Barkley, still no sign of him at practice, Kyle. And the Giants offense remains so beat up. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Between offensive linemen that are out for the year and wide receivers are in and out of the lineup, what's the value, though, for Saquon for the rest of the season? Because the schedule on paper looks good for opposing running backs, or for running backs, I should say, based off the opponents that the Giants have. But like, do you think we can get back to the point where Saquon is set it and forget it for this season? He was getting there before that injury.
Yeah, I want to say yes. I'm not sure I believe me if I say that.
Okay.
I think you can get trade value for him right now based on his name, based on the upward trajectory of his health.
Okay.
That I think I would probably pull the trigger on that. If you drafted Saquon Barkley, you're likely scrambling and in some sort of spot here after 8 weeks. I think if you can get 80 cents on the dollar,
okay,
I think I would. How about you?
I think I would too. And there are a few reasons why. One, we don't know he's coming back, right?
Right. No.
Giants, I don't know if they've practiced yet. I don't think they have. No practice report from the Giants. So we don't know if he'll play this week. And if he doesn't play this week, who is to say that he plays next week? So we don't know when he's going to return.
Right.
Second of all, while he did look much better in a couple of games, the 125 rushing yards game is hard to imagine happening that frequently. I know that he missed basically all of last year, and he's missed a ton of time this year, but you know, no game with even 60 rushing yards since week 17 of 2019.
Yeah.
Crazy. And then, maybe this is unfair, and if it is, I'm not sure what to say. Who's to say that he stays healthy once he comes back?
It's fine, and the Giants aren't going anywhere. So what motivation do they have to push him to where anything but a bruise is a problem for him? Yeah. I couldn't agree more.
It's weird. It's weird how useful Devontae Booker has been. I'm not saying he's been better than Saquon Barkley, but he has been super useful filling in for Saquon. Here's a fun one. How about Darnell Mooney? Actually, you know what? Before that, I just wanted to mention, I just heard this. This is not exactly a surprise on a morning where there have been a few surprises, but Christian McCaffrey has been designated to return to practice for the Carolina Panthers from IR. I say that very specifically. Return to practice. He can play as soon as Sunday against the Patriots. The team has until Saturday to decide whether or not to bring him up to the active roster. Good news, and I'm crossing my fingers here, is potentially on the way for Christian McCaffrey. We will update this if we get further clarity that, you know, he's returning to practice, but he's unlikely to play. I think he's got a chance. That seems to be the tenor from Matt Rhule. If you see my ranking right now on ESPN.com, I am the lowest on Christian McCaffrey. I'm all the way down at number 5, Kyle. Because I am convinced that if they bring him back this weekend, they're going to be thoughtful about how he's used. Like, one thing that has undone them in recently has been too much Christian McCaffrey.
Sure. What does thoughtful look like, though? Instead of 100% of the carries, he gets 85 and he's still locked into your lineup?
Yeah, I mean, he's RB5. I'm just saying, like, you know, the initial projections for Mike does an amazing job with the projections, but it's like he's RB1 by like a gap.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, something like 20 fantasy points might be more realistic than 27 fantasy points for Christian McCaffrey. Just a few opportunities there that he is not going to get, that he would get under previous circumstances. So Darnell Mooney looks to me like easily the Bears wide receiver that if you had to roster one, you're rostering the rest of the season. Yeah. That being said, so he's been a top 30 wide receiver in 3 of 5 weeks, and then the other 2 weeks he's been outside the top 45. As I noticed the rankings every week, which Mike, again, does a great job with the projections, like, does he need to be rostered in 100% of leagues?
Rostered, yes. I think he's borderline flex territory. Fields is only going to get better, right? I mean, agree on that. He's not going in the other direction.
Of course. Yes.
And Mooney's a big play target. So like we were talking with Cooper, like one play can make it happen. He's caught 8 of 13 deep targets from Fields. The rest of the Bears are 5 of 18 from him. So he's clearly got a connection with Mooney. I'll take my chances if I'm kind of throwing darts at a flex spot here. He's going to earn that spot more often than not for me.
I think so too. And it's one of those weird ones that like he's yet to have like an 8-catch, 112-yard, 1-touchdown performance where like, oh my God, the sky is the limit. But he also has enough like 5 for 68-yard performances that you're like, all right, yeah, like I could survive with Darnell Mooney. I don't play in enough 10-team leagues anymore, redraft leagues.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't know if this was by design or if it just sort of happened. A lot of leagues that I play in now are either keeper, dynasty, or deep leagues.
Same.
16-team leagues, 14-team leagues. Maybe that's, I don't know why that's the case this year. So sometimes my vision gets a little bit more locked in on like, yeah, in a 16-team league, like, of course Darnell Mooney needs to be in your lineup or at least on your bench. In a 10-team league, I'm like, eh. I don't know. Like, maybe.
Probably not in a 10-team ESPN league where you're only starting 2 receivers and 1 flex. So you, in theory, have to be a top 30 receiver locked in. I don't think he's that. But if you're talking 40, in the neighborhood of 40 starting receivers, I think he gets there on a weekly basis.
One more time, before we get to some rapid fire, just one more time on the big news of the day is that Aaron Rodgers has been placed on the COVID-19 list or will be placed after testing positive for the virus. Adam Schefter tweeted that the earliest that Rodgers could be available would be November 13th. That's 1 week from this upcoming Saturday. The Packers play somebody in Week 10. Do you know who they play?
I don't know. Off the top of my head.
Jackson, any chance to check who the Packers play in Week 10 and what time that game is? I don't think they have their bye next week, but I could be wrong there. So we'll see. I would assume, and we'll have plenty of time to cover this, but I would assume that if the Packers play in Week 10, Seahawks Week 10, so Week 10 Seahawks, I would assume that home? Okay, there we go. 425, Week 10, Packers Seahawks, excellent information. I think that there's a chance, I mean, I would think that the Packers will be planning on Aaron Rodgers playing even without a week of practice that week. This is different than like a running back or a linebacker or a guy who's, you know, cardiovascular fitness during a game is a little bit different, right? They're running every single snap. We saw Damian Williams come back from the Bears and, like, barely play during that week. So I do think that Aaron Rodgers could be fine or could very well play in Week 10, but we'll discuss that later on. But names that we like this week, Tua Tagovailoa, Carson Wentz, I like Jordan Love, Teddy Bridgewater, 4 or 5 names, Mike White if you're super desperate.
That's Thursday night, so you'd have to make that call soon. Yeah. And Taysom Hill, if he's Taysom out there, Hill, he's going to be out there in a lot of leagues.
Taysom Hill as well. So the good news is there are plenty of options for you this week to replace Aaron Rodgers. You won't get Aaron Rodgers' performance, but you'll get, you know, maybe 15 fantasy points or 18 fantasy points from your quarterback. I'm going to give you a name. I'm going to give you where that quarterback ranks right now. And I'm going to ask you for the rest of this season, will they be better or worse on a points per game basis? You ready for this?
Sure.
Jalen Hurts, quarterback 5.
I think he is worse than that, but still inside the top 10.
Okay, worse, but still inside the top 10. I'm going to say right at quarterback 5 for the rest of the season.
Push, okay. Like, so Vegas push him set a
right
good line.
There, yep. Okay. Joe Burrow, quarterback 12, better or worse for the rest of the season?
Give me better. I think he's going to keep throwing it around. The talent they have in that room, and they're willing to throw the ball a little bit more now than they were early in the season. Jamar Chase, obviously an animal. I think you're looking at a top 10 quarterback.
I'm going to go slightly worse, but this is a good reminder. Like, if someone asked me to build a top 10 list, like the 10 best quarterbacks in the NFL.
I'm putting 15 people on.
And then do it again tomorrow. But like, let's say this. You asked me to do it today.
Yeah.
And then you found a way to wipe my memory just from today.
You can't wipe your memory. You remember stuff from when you were nine.
But just remember just from today.
Okay.
And you said, all right, do it tomorrow. Who are the top 10 best quarterbacks in the NFL? And you'd have to order them. It'd be different, right? So Joe Burrow will be outside my the top 12, but still a player than a 12-team league, I would feel confident starting, if that makes sense.
It does.
Josh Jacobs, RB16. I don't know how he is RB16 in terms of points per game this year.
Yeah, no, he's going to be worse than that. I mean, the schedule doesn't line up, and it's touchdown-based with him. If he's not scoring, I don't want to say he's poor man's 2020 Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
But kind of, sort of. And with Drake there and he's doing well, I'll pass. I don't think he's a top 25 guy.
I'm with you as well. I'm having a hard time trusting him unless that Raiders coaching staff has a change of heart in terms of how they utilize him. Elijah Mitchell, RB18, rest of the season, yes or no?
I'll say no, but not by much.
I'm going to say yes, yeah, okay, under one condition, though, that this current rib issue that he's dealing with doesn't cost him time this weekend.
Okay,
he's a good player, man. Like, just watching him, I'm like, holy cow. Like,
and that's a system, too. So, I mean, like, if you have a good player or a good system, I'm generally going to put you in the top 25.
Yeah.
When you have both, or at least the sniff of having both, I'm in.
Wait, by the way, everybody who's asking, like, what's going on with Trey Sermon, like, there definitely are things that Trey Sermon probably needs to be better on. But like some of it's just like Elijah Mitchell looks great.
He's good.
He
looks
really good. He looks legitimately good for the San Francisco 49ers. One more here, Tyler Lockett, wide receiver 26.
I mean, it's not going to be close to 26, right? It's either 6 or 46.
Correct. It's
I'm going to say closer to 6. Russell Wilson gets back. He gets cooking. I just have a soft spot for Tyler.
I'm the same way. And you know, they're on their bye this week. Russ can play as soon as week 10, who Jackson just reminded us. It's the game against the Packers. I'm with Kyle. It's going to be better than wide receiver 26 for the rest of the season. These are some, here are four players. They all share the first name Mike. How confident are you going to be in these players keeping up their consistency and their production for the rest of the year? You ready for this one?
Sure.
Mike, as in Michael Carter for the Jets, the running back. Can he keep this up? He's RB19 right now.
Yeah, I think that's about the right slot. I mean, it's his backfield, right?
He's sort of.
I mean, Ty Johnson's there, but
yeah.
And with White at quarterback, like, 5 catches are kind of the expectation right now for a week. And if you can get that with 15 carries, like, you don't have to be all that productive to be a top 20 guy.
I think if the catches keep up, he could be definitely right there. And the schedules we discussed yesterday kind of lightens up.
Yeah.
3 of their next 4 games, Indianapolis, Houston and Miami in their next 4 games, like they could be sort of like
frisky.
What if the Jets were standing at like 2-5 They're 2-5 right now. What if the Jets got to 5-7? Like the world is not ready for that.
No.
5-6 if they win 3 of their next 4.
And they could. They
could also lose by 30 on Thursday.
Sure,
night,
but they just beat the Bengals. Like I don't want to say they can do anything because that's
Bengals
asinine,
and Titans, right?
But yeah, I mean those are good W's.
It is definitely a any given Sunday league. Mike Williams, wide receiver 13. I'm confident. This is like we need to decide on a term for a player that if you have him, you're just starting him. If we want to call it Mike Williams, we can call him that because he seems to be the poster child for this conundrum. I have him. He might stink. He might be great. I'm going to go with this week. He'll be great.
Yeah, two down weeks against the Ravens and Patriots. Like, I'm not that worried about it. Still a great player. Space Jam didn't happen. He didn't lose his talents or size or anything like that, or his quarterback.
Yeah, totally. Well said on all that. Michael Pittman, wide receiver 18. I think this is an easy one, right? We both like this to produce.
Like him. I'm a little iffy on Wentz. Like, he still does some dumb things that just
totally
boggle my mind, which is going to have, I think Pittman has 2 or 3 of those outside the top 50 sort of weeks.
Okay.
But I think he does enough good to make him worth slotting in. So I'm with you. I think he probably finishes worse than 18 the rest of the way if I had to put a number to it.
They've already played both their games against Tennessee. I don't know if they've played both their games or any of their games against Jacksonville or Houston, but good interdivision matchups. Like I like Michael Pittman. He's just a player I just enjoy watching and think is a rock solid player. Mike Gesicki, tight end 6, even though he is a big wide receiver. I'm saying he keeps it up, Kyle.
Yeah.
Like, he probably is. When we were talking about that conversation of tight ends you can trust, like, he's right on the border right there, right? Like, he's really good, really athletic, like, can score touchdowns. I'm a Kazuki fan.
Yeah, and we're in on Tua and the growth we've seen. I don't think he's in that top tier with the Hawkinsons, Kelseys, and that crew. But he might not even be knocking on the door, but he's far enough away from the rest of the pile.
Yeah.
that I think he's okay.
I prefer him than some of those tight ends we discussed that are like, they have to score a touchdown to pay off. He is not that. So speaking of Mikes, we have Mike Clay coming back tomorrow.
He's the top of my mic board.
Top of everybody's mic board. That much is for sure. As Mike will be here with Stefania and I tomorrow to do a Thursday night preview, talk wide receivers, cornerbacks, and all the latest news, which at the pace we're going this week, could be all sorts of news. Before we say goodbye, a special thank you to you, Kyle Sapi. You did wonderful, my friend. No surprise whatsoever.
I appreciate you welcoming me to the couch.
It's great to have you on the couch. I imagine we could do it again at some point this season. For Jackson and Kyle, I am Field. We'll be back on Thursday. You want to say it?
Peace out.
Yes, good job. Turning numbers into dreams. That's what he'll do. Along with random Damien, he's in Field's crew. The deepest voice you'll ever hear. From a man without a beer, he's thirsty.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.